Should states raise the minimum age to get a driver's license? That's the question we'll discuss this hour with you and our guest, who says states should up the driving age from mostly 16 to 17 or even 18. We'll wonder if you agree or not and what questions you have at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 10 past 6 on this Wednesday, September the 10th. Our guest is Russ Rader, spokesperson for the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety, which issued a report yesterday saying lives could be saved if we raise the minimum age for getting a driver's license. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Well, my 15-and-a-half-year-old niece is going to be really mad at you.
Not real popular with teens today.
Yeah. And maybe not a mom and dad either, who are, you know, carting her around everything right now.
Well, I think that, the reaction that we've gotten has certainly been sort of a both extremes, certainly. But when you look at the public opinion polls, there is a surprising level of support for a higher licensing age, even from parents who have teens.
Okay, so how do you know it would save lives if we upped the driving age?
Well, we have a lot of research from the U.S. as well as around the world that shows that it would save lives. We have an example in the U.S. of a state that has actually done this. New Jersey is the only state in the U.S. that essentially has a licensing age of 17. That is the age at which you can get a full privilege license in the U.S., and it's generally lower in most other states, and New Jersey has dramatically lowered the crash rate for its 16-year-olds. Obviously, they're not driving unsupervised in New Jersey, and we know that 16-year-olds have the highest crash rates of any group. So by taking them off the road, you lower the overall toll for teens. There's a net safety benefit.
Then the crash rate for 17-year-olds in New Jersey is up.
That has always been the concern about this issue, that if you raise the driving age, do you simply shift the risk to higher ages? And certainly there is evidence that novice 17-year-olds in New Jersey do have slightly higher crash rates than 17-year-olds elsewhere who have more experience, but it's not a big effect, and overall, you still have a net safety benefit by saving the 16-year-olds that would have died otherwise.
Mm. Some states, like Wisconsin, have this graduated licensing system. You don't get the unrestricted driving privileges right away at 16. Is that good enough?
Graduated licensing has had a significant effect on reducing teen crashes. Graduated licensing is still relatively new. Most states and Canadian provinces have passed graduated licensing laws only really in the last 10 to 12 years. The research shows in the U.S. that nationally crash risk for 16-year-olds, for example, has dropped 40% in the last 10 years. So we have had a significant effect on teen crashes with graduated licensing, but we still have a big public health problem in the U.S. despite that. This is still teen crashes are still a significant problem. A lot of teens still die in the U.S. It's a leading cause of death among teens, motor vehicle crashes. So we wanted to present this data to ask the question, is there more that could be done? What would be the next step?
And the next step, you say, is raise that minimum driving age to what, 17 or 18?
Well, we have looked at the data from places where both ages have become the minimum driving age, and we see the same significant effects. We're not saying that states should raise it to a particular age. We're presenting the data, and obviously it's a state-by-state issue. States have to consider their own situation. Certainly there are exceptions that could be built into this. for teens who have to get to workplaces and things like that. What we're saying is whether you raise it to 17 or 18, you would have a significant effect in public safety.
We're talking about getting a driver's license, the age you get a driver's license. Do you want Wisconsin to consider an older minimum driving age? We're talking with Russ Rader with the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety, who says that an older driving age of 17 or 18 would save lives. We welcome your questions and your reactions to this idea at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We would love to hear from some teens if you're in the audience right now, or the moms and dads of teens. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
And with the radio blasting, goes cruising just as fast as she can now.
We're talking with a guest who wants to take the T-Bird away from 16-year-olds. Oh, that's not quite right. We're talking with a guest who is an auto safety group who says that states should consider raising the minimum driving age, saying it will save lives. And we wonder if you want Wisconsin or your state to consider this. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guest is Russ Rader. He's a spokesperson for the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety. And I must admit, Russ Rader, I hate to admit this, but the first and only somewhat serious accident that I've gotten into while in my entire time driving a car was when I was 16 years old. I hit a telephone pole on a very icy, snowy day in Appleton, Wisconsin, and hurt myself. Not seriously, but it was lack of experience driving in the snow.
And lack of experience is a big part of the problem. So is immaturity. We know that teens overestimate their skills at driving, and they underestimate the risks associated with driving. Teens, by and large, have a sort of a sense of invulnerability, and we see that in the crash rates. That teens are more likely to be involved in crashes where there's risk-taking, tailgating, speeding, taking corners too fast. And they're more likely to be involved in crashes that involve other teens in the vehicle. And this is part of the success of graduated licensing in that in a typical three-stage system now, you have a learner's period that's extended over a period of time. Like in Wisconsin, you have a minimum entry age of 15 years, 6 months. And then you have to be in that holding period for 6 months for the learner's period where parents have to certify that they're supervising driving. And then you get to a second stage where there are restrictions. You can't drive certain hours at night. You can't have more than one passenger in the vehicle during that time. And only after you get through those periods can you get a full privileged license. And that has taken teens out of some of the riskiest situations.
To the phones we go with questions and comments on this. Russ in Lodi starts us off. Hi, Russ. You're on the air.
Good morning. I just have a question regarding the nighttime driving restriction. Seems to me that that would be logical. Just like snowmobiles, they've slowed them down to 55 at night, and it's saved a lot of lives. It's just made it a lot more enjoyable sport as well. Is there a comparison statistically that shows fatalities at night versus fatalities during the day for the same amount of crashes, or, you know, fewer crashes during the day, more at night, that actually kill teens? If you could address that.
Yes, there are fewer crashes involving teens at night, but the risk is higher when teens are driving at night, and that is the reason that a lot of states have enacted these nighttime restrictions. Part of the interesting thing about that is that most, when you talk about 16-year-olds, they're not typically out driving after midnight. So one of the recommendations that we have had for graduated licensing systems is that nighttime restriction actually start at 9 or 10 o'clock for 16-year-olds, not at midnight, because that's not really addressing the problem at midnight. You need to address the problem in those earlier hours.
Thanks, Russ, for the call. Jackie in Middleton is with us now. Hi, Jackie.
Good morning. This is a great topic. I've lived here for 10 years, and I'm constantly complaining to my husband that we should have a driver's education program.
I come
originally from the United Kingdom, mm-hmm. where we have L plates and R plates. And an L plate is on a vehicle that's being driven, supervised by a student driver. So every other motorist on the road can see that L plate. There's one on the front and one on the back of the vehicle. So we know we have someone that's inexperienced. And then after they pass their test, they have an R plate, which tells us that they have limited experience. And they have restrictions, like they can't drive on the interstate and stuff like that without supervision. But we don't know, as experienced drivers, whether the person with the R plate has passed their test an hour or about to throw it away. And so we can give them more space, more time, more... You know, we expect more problems as experienced drivers sharing the roads with our teams. Mm-hmm. And I think that really helps to reduce the pressure on them to respond quickly and to address issues on the road.
Mm. Oh, Russ Rader?
Well, it's interesting the way European countries and Australia, for example, have handled the driving age very differently than we have in the United States. Now, part of that is that... obviously, access to public transportation is much different in a place like the UK or on the continent in Europe. But not only do most EU countries and the UK have a higher driving age, it's also much more difficult and costly to get a license. In the UK, I think you have to go through a lot of training. It's costly to get a license, and so what you find is that even though the UK has a licensing age of 17, a much lower percentage of 18 and 19-year-olds have driver's licenses in the UK than they do in the US.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It costs about $60 an hour to learn, and most people need to have about 30 hours of instruction, and then they have to take a written test that's not just about road safety, but also about how their vehicle works, so they understand what they're trying to drive and how it needs to be controlled. And then it costs about $200 to actually sit the test. So you have practice tests that you take once your instructor believes that you're ready. None of this is available through your high school, so it's all through private businesses, and it's done outside of school hours and all of that. I know when I took my driving test, I had to come out of a driving test center into a city with one of those dreadful traffic islands that people don't like here, that had four lanes of traffic and six exits, and straight out of the examination station to sit my test.
Those roundabouts? Yeah.
Yeah.
It seems then that only rich people can get a driver's license, Russ Rader.
Well, I think that we have to... think about, part of this is a balance between mobility and safety.
Mm-hmm.
In the U.S., we often talk about the 16-year-old driving age in sort of romantic terms, or in terms of the way it was when we were kids, or the way as if this sort of was handed down on a stone tablet at some point. But really, the 16-year-old driving age in the U.S. was decided upon, you know, early in the last century, when the United States was a largely rural country. It was a very different time. And we think that it's a good time now, after having this experience with graduated licensing, where many states have, in effect, raised the driving age somewhat through the phased-in driver's licenses in GDL, to talk about this, whether 16 really makes sense when we're losing so many teens on the highway.
Yeah, I was shocked to see that in South Dakota, the minimum driving age is 14 and a half.
That is one of the earliest, if not the earliest, driving ages in the country, where teens can drive unsupervised. You find that in rural states where there's a need for there are long distances. There's a need for kids on the farm, for example, to drive. So that is the case in many rural states, that the driving age is lower than it is in urban ones.
Do any states in this country do this license plate that has, I don't know, some sort of code saying younger driver at the wheel?
There have been discussions of that, I think most recently in actually in New Jersey, but I'm not aware of any systems that are in place right now in the U.S. like that.
Jackie, thank you so much for the call and your perspective from the U.K. Scott in Menominee is with us. Hi, Scott.
Hi.
Yes, go ahead.
I'm a driver license examiner with the state of Wisconsin, and one of the things I notice is that the parents' approach to the three-stage process makes a huge difference.
How so?
Well, one of the problems that many people who try to get a road test are aware of is that the DMV doesn't tend to have enough examiners and open slots available, so it's a several-month wait oftentimes. And what I see is I see parents and children coming in for a road test where they've been focused on when can I get in, when can I get in, when can I get in, and the parent has fed into that as well. And I can have a horrible road test with someone like that, sit down and explain everything that needs to improve, and the first thing out of their mouth is, when can I get in again? Rather than, okay, we'll go work on that stuff, or, you know, wow, sorry, it was so scary. And so that approach, I think the parent can really take the lead. Now, I am in favor of raising the age myself, actually, but it's more due to the risk assessment capabilities, the recent brain research showing that it's not until the mid-20s that the full risk assessment capabilities come around. Now, I wouldn't suggest raising the age that high, but I think 18 is a start.
Yeah.
And then you add to that the fact that an 18-year-old, I think we all know this from our own experience, 18-year-olds are a lot less susceptible to peer pressure. Once they get past that first 9 months of only having one passenger, once they can add more than that, the 18-year-old is more likely to be able to tell three friends, to heck with you, I'm not going to do what you say, or I'm not going to feed into let's race with so-and-so over there.
Right.
And that kind of thing, than a 16-year-old would be.
Scott, let me ask you about your original point, though. Are you saying that parents should, what, spend more time instructing their kids how to drive rather than hurrying up for the road test?
I think with the new graduated driver license program, a lot of them spend a lot of time and really do a good job. I think what happens sometimes is the focus, especially near the end of the six-month period of the permit, becomes, okay, now we've put in our time, we've logged all our hours, we've done this, we've done that, we've jumped through all the hoops, and now my kid deserves a license, or the kid feels, I deserve a license. And whether they get it or not on the first try, I think sometimes, I saw a wonderful thing with one parent, they, after the child had the license, they imposed their own restrictions that were more strict than the graduated driver license restrictions that the state puts on. And I think that's one of the downsides that you can have as an unintended consequence of graduated driver licensing is you can have that that group of parents out there that feel like, oh, the state already put a restriction on, so we'll just go with that. But I think previous to this, maybe there were parents that started to put some thought into, let's see, the first 1,000 miles you have your license, we're going to do this. I know my parents back in the early 80s told me you're going to put in 1,000 hours of practice before you can make an appointment.
Scott,
I walked out with my license, my mom said, okay, give us another 1,000 and you can have the keys alone. And I
Mom knew best. But we have to check news from National Public Radio and then we'll return. Remember how excited you were to turn 16 and get your driver's license? Most states allow driving at 16. Some states, like Wisconsin, allow a teen a driver's license at 16, but put some restrictions on him or her. At least one state in the United States, New Jersey, has a 17-year-old driving age. We are talking with a guest who says all states should consider raising the minimum driving age, that it would save lives. We're welcoming your thoughts and questions on this idea at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Do you want Wisconsin or your state to consider raising the minimum driving age? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 6:37 now on this Wednesday, September the 10th. We're talking with a guest from the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety, Russ Rader. The Insurance Institute for Highway Safety released a report yesterday that called for states to consider a higher driving age. We heard from a caller just before we had to check news, Russ Rader, who was a driver's license, a DMV driver's license tester, and he agreed. He thought that a higher age would be important, but he also thought that parents could do a better job, not just be so concerned about when kids can take their road test.
Yeah, I think the point about parents was an important one, and it fits in with this whole idea of the phased-in graduated driver's licenses, not only the amount of time that the GDL programs require parents to spend with their teens, but also because it's difficult for parents often to restrict their teens' driving. Teens are excited about driving. They want to do it. And what graduated driver's licenses do is give parents some backup to set down some rules of the road. And it's important for parents to understand what the risks are. And regardless of what the law is in your particular state, it's important for parents to, in some cases, even go further in restricting their beginning drivers, because the crashes that the crash rate is highest when teens first get that license to drive, even with the restrictions, the license to drive unsupervised. That's when the crash risk is the highest. And setting down some basic rules about, no night driving, got to be home at 9 or 10 o'clock, no driving around with your friends, because we forget that a lot of teens die as drivers in crashes, but there are also many teens who die as passengers in vehicles with a teen driver.
Are the statistics that you're looking at when you talk about reducing crashes and fatalities if we raise the driving age, are those teens killing other teens, or are we talking about killing other people regardless of their age?
A little bit of both. Mm-hmm. We're looking at statistics that look at fatal crash involvement mm-hmm. for young drivers. So whether it's a crash in which somebody died, teen drivers are the riskiest on the road to themselves, but they're also putting other people at risk.
Yeah. Asher in Sheboygan is with us. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Joy. Hi, Rush. Good morning. And my name is Asher Heimerman from Sheboygan.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to say I am against this, raising the age, because I think no matter what you do, it won't make a difference. I would support raising the age to 17 or 18 if a teenager has a criminal record and showed the community that he or she is not ready to have a license. But to punish every single teenager because of other teenagers is not something I would support.
Yeah. Asher, what about our guest saying that if we did this, we would reduce fatal accidents?
Well, it depends how we do this. Again, if we have teenagers that have committed criminal acts, then I would be fine with raising the age to 18 for those teenagers.
Yeah.
But because if we have a few bad apples that ruin it for the rest of us, and Rush, I agree what you're trying to do with raising the age, but for all teenagers, does not sound right with me.
Yeah, how old are you, Asher, by the way?
I am 14, uh-huh. And I did start a online petition against the Institute's proposal.
There we go. We have very politically active listeners, even if they're 14, Russ Rader.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we recognize that this isn't going to be terribly popular with teens. Many parents who are anxious, to give up the chauffeuring duties may not be too thrilled with this either. But, you know, again, getting back to something we were talking about earlier, this balance between safety and mobility, I think we just, as a society, we have to decide how much risk for our teen drivers that we want to accept in order to get places that we need to go and allow our teens to get places where they need to go.
Yeah. What about his idea of maybe raising the driving age to the kids who have, a criminal past or are troublemakers, but not for everybody else?
Well, that's certainly an interesting proposal. One of the things, though, that we have to keep in mind is that when we talk about teen crashes, we're not talking about bad kids.
Mm-hmm.
We're not talking about kids who are getting into trouble. We're talking about a risk level for crashes for the population of teens as a whole. Whether they're A students or whether they're not, or whether they're getting into trouble or whether they're not, the risk is very high because teens, overestimate their skills. They have a sense of invulnerability, and it's a very different situation to be driving to be a driver at 16 than it is to be an experienced driver who is older.
Asher, thank you so much for calling. We really appreciate hearing from you. Maureen in Mineral Point says that raising the driving age would be a bad idea. At age 18, kids are moving off to college and to unfamiliar towns. The roads won't be safer if these inexperienced drivers are navigating cities that they are not accustomed to. Comment on that, Russ Rader?
Well, experience is certainly important, but so is maturity, and it's sort of hard. We don't really have a good handle on how we can separate those two and look at them separately. But we know that novice drivers at 17, those who are just starting to drive at 17 in a state like New Jersey, they do have slightly higher crash rates, but not at the same level as novice drivers who are 16.
We're talking with Russ Rader. He's a spokesperson for the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety, who says in order to make our roads and highways safer, we should raise the minimum driving age from 16 to maybe 17 or 18. What do you think? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We just heard from one 14-year-old. We'd love to hear from some other young people, some teens, or moms, dads, grandparents. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
My pappy said, son, you're going to drive me to drinking if you don't stop driving that hot rod Lincoln.
This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Very happy to have you along. Hope you stay tuned. Coming up after 7 o'clock, many Wisconsinites went to the polls yesterday for primary elections. After 7, I'll talk with a guest political analyst about how the races for the state legislature and U.S. Congress are shaping up in Wisconsin. Plus, we'll look a little bit at the presidential race here in the state and how that might affect these other offices. That's coming up after 7. Right now, we're talking with Russ Rader. He's with the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety, who says an older minimum driving age in this country, in most of the states, would save lives. We are welcoming your questions and reactions to the idea. And our next caller is Jim in Shawano. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, good morning. I'm a former driver's license examiner, and too many people are forgetting that driving is a privilege and not a right. I definitely feel that Wisconsin should raise the driving age to at least 17. And I did read recently in a paper about New Jersey. They raised it to 17 and reduced the fatalities in that age group by 30%. So let's get together and see that Wisconsin is not the 50th state to raise it. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jim. Yeah, we made this point in our first half hour, Russ Rader, but it bears repeating. New Jersey does have a lower teen fatality crash rate, right?
Right, they do. And the it seems obvious, but you know, when you take the 16-year-olds have the highest crash risk. What New Jersey has done is raise the driving age. So if 16-year-olds are no longer driving, they're not crashing and dying. So in New Jersey, you've got a slightly higher risk for 17-year-olds starting out, but the 16-year-olds are alive, and you've got a net safety benefit mm-hmm. of raising the age.
Yeah. Other states have considered raising their driving ages, but have not met with much success, though. You point that out in your report.
Right. There are a number of states, I think most recently Delaware and Massachusetts, that have considered raising the driving age. Unfortunately, often these things come out of tragedies. There was a series of terrible, tragic teen crashes in Massachusetts that prompted the legislature to consider this. But as in the past, there just wasn't enough political momentum, and the proposals did not make it out of the legislature.
Do you know, when you say political momentum, is it that teens and parents are, you know, are fighting this, or who's opposing this?
I think that I don't know the specific case mm-hmm. in Massachusetts, but often you know, even a state like Massachusetts has rural areas, and oftentimes there are rural lawmakers who raise objections to this idea. But it's important to point out that you can even as we do in graduated licensing programs, you can build in exceptions mm-hmm. Where teens need to drive on the farm, for example, or need to get to work. Because their livelihood is part of the family's livelihood. You can make exceptions in this and dramatically improve the safety of the roads in our states.
Next we go to Michael in Lindenhurst, Illinois. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I think that age isn't as big a factor in driving skills as experience, and I, living in Illinois, the driving style here is very different from how it is in Wisconsin and other areas. And
yeah, it's a lot worse, right?
Yeah, in a lot of ways, it is a lot
okay.
worse.
Mm-hmm.
And Illinois has taken some steps with teen drivers in terms of the number of passengers they can carry and things like that, which I think are good measures. But overall, I think the level of experience of the driver is a much larger factor than their physiological age. I understand their minds work different and things like that, but, you know, they can be trained to be good drivers. They're just not.
Mm-hmm. Russ Rader?
Well, that's a really good question, because this often comes up, and it came up at this conference where we presented our data yesterday. This issue of driver education, it is, you know, driver education sounds good, because we in this country, you know, put a lot of faith in education for very good reasons. But in the case of driver education, it might be surprising for most people to know that driver education programs, even those held up as model programs, have never been shown to reduce teen crash rates. And this gets to the issue of whether it's experience or immaturity. It's really both. But immaturity is a key factor here, that teens are risk takers by the nature of being teenagers. And driver education, even though it's very good for teaching basic driving skills, does not reduce overall teen crash rates.
I talked to somebody who ran an independent driving school, and I seem to remember him saying that the younger the teens were that he taught in this business, the better they were at learning. It was the 18-year-olds and older who were the poorest students. Is that just anecdotal from his part, or do we, you know, kind of get set in our ways and you can't teach old dogs things?
Well, I don't know that that we have specific research on that. There are, you know, even education programs for elderly drivers as well that I think have shown some success in teaching elderly drivers or refreshing their skills and so forth. But the when you look at the crash rates, we kind of have to separate whether you know how to drive.
Mm-hmm.
From whether you're going to actually be a good driver that avoids crashes, and these programs have not been shown to reduce crashes.
Blake in Door County writes in this email, as a parent of three teenage boys, I can't stress enough the importance of families to not allow a 20-minute driving exam to determine whether a new driver can drive in all scenarios independently. You'd agree with that?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, we need to teach young people how to drive. The key thing in graduated licensing programs is helping them gain experience supervised under in the least risky situations. And the least risky situation is when mom or dad are sitting there and they're teaching teens how to drive, supervising their driving in increasingly more challenging environments, helping them learn how to drive at night, helping them learn how to merge onto the freeway, and doing this over a period of time to help their teens. You know, parents often think teens aren't listening to me, but teens actually do pick up a lot of their skills and driving habits from parents.
Next, we go to Matthew in Appleton. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Morning.
Yes, I would just like to make a comment. I disagree with raising the driving age to 18. I can see 17, and my reasoning behind that is the way things are going now, there could possibly be in the future a draft. And if these kids are going over to war at 18 without a valid driver's license, driving military vehicles, forced into driving military vehicles, with absolutely no experience and possibly never even returning to our own soil to even drive a car in America.
All right, we get you. The 18-year-old, the age of majority, Russ Rader.
Yeah, I think, you know, what this comes down to is, states have to consider their own circumstances, issues like this caller has brought up, and sort of weigh these different things. But we think on balance, it would make a lot of sense to raise the driving age, certainly at least to 17.
Jack in Hudson is with us now. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi there. I'm in support of raising the driving rate age, but I'd like to add that it's really hard in rural states such as Wisconsin versus New Jersey because of the lack of transportation for students to get elsewhere. As a teacher, I see a lot of students out driving, getting to their various activities because their parents are too busy to take them everywhere. And I think until we can get better transportation in the state, it's going to be really hard to raise the driving age because of the lack of public transportation. I'll take my comments off the air. Thanks.
Yeah, that's something to consider, right, Russ Rader?
Yeah, that is something that comes up a lot. And certainly there are exceptions that can be built into laws like this. We just have to think about what the toll is for 16-year-olds, the 16-year-olds that we're losing out on the road, and is it worth that to license, as most states do, at 16 or somewhere in the 16th year?
Yeah. And let me clarify the position of your institute. A state that has graduated licensing, like Wisconsin, those states, too, should consider a 17-year-old driving age?
Well, what we think would be sort of an ideal proposal is to raise the driving age, but also shift the graduated licensing program along with that.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, that you would have, say, a 17-year-old driving age, but you would also have the system in place that would phase in the license over a period of time. Maybe not as long as you would if you had a 16-year-old driving age, but to still allow that experience to be gained over time rather than putting them on the road as novice drivers without any kind of effort to take them out of the night driving and the risky situations that we know cause a lot of crashes.
A comment from Doug in Bloomer, we don't need to raise the driving age. Instead, we should double the fines on tickets and traffic violations, and this would act as an incentive to drive safely. Would that make a difference?
Well, we know from a lot of traffic safety research that traffic enforcement is certainly the key, but fines by in and of themselves don't change driver behavior very readily.
Yeah. Well, do you think that many states are going to take you up on your call to raise the minimum driving age, Russ Rader?
Well, we had an interesting discussion before the Governor's Highway Safety Association, where we presented this data yesterday, and I think a lot of states will be open to this. We wanted to start the discussion of it, and I think that in the future this will be something that begins to take hold in places as we consider what is the next step to try to protect our teens and make our roads safer.
We certainly had a mix of response with our callers, but actually more support than I thought we were going to hear. Russ Rader, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Russ Rader is a spokesperson for the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety. The Institute released this report yesterday calling on states to consider raising the minimum driving age, saying it will save lives if the minimum driving age were older than 16, 17, for example. Thanks to Rob Ferret, Bill Martins, and Cynthia Schuster for producing this program. Thank you for listening and for calling in. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.